And Lord, we come to you now asking you to fill us with your word. Send your Holy Spirit as Pastor Sparico presents this miracle at Cana, that it might take root in our hearts and that we might be overjoyed at proclaiming what Jesus has done in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning. Is my mic working? Okay, we've had issues with it all morning. Yeah, thank you so much for the prayer, Pastor Jim. I want to assure you, by the way, that Pastor Jim and I did not consult each other this morning before we came to church on fashion. But it just shows that both of us have very good taste. So I feel like I'm in good company. I'm Pastor Gerard Sparico. I am currently on sabbatical. I served a church in Buffalo for many, many years, and then moved to Phoenix about a year and a half ago, and I've been supply preaching in most of the congregations here in the Phoenix metropolitan area. I've seen so many other congregations around and met so many people, and I've seen so many styles of worship, and just marvelous to see how God's working all across in this great big city. And it makes me think about, you know, when we think about God's working, God's miracle. When we think about miracles, a miracle is how God works in our lives and how God does things. And it's very important, it's very interesting how Christ's first miracle occurred at a wedding, and occurred at the wedding at Cana. And when we read the story, it strikes us how long and how opulent this wedding was, lasting 3 days, drinking and celebrating and partying. We think about how opulent our weddings are becoming in our country these days. My brother, you know, back home in New York, my brother got married several years ago. And one of the rules of thumb for weddings back home is that a wedding should cost a year's salary. Yeah. So my brother saved up for 2 years, $40,000, and he put on a magnificent wedding. Magnificent wedding. The big church, the big bridal, you know, the dresses, you know, fantastic dress for his bride. He rented an entire room at a hotel. The banquet had thousands of people. And I remember there thinking, I didn't know my brother knew so many people. Thousands of people were there. And the food, I mean, we had, for an appetizer, we had prime rib. And it got more grandiose after that. The entree was just phenomenal, filet mignon and lobster and all that kind of stuff. He spent a lot of money on this wedding. However, as opulent as that wedding was, it's nothing to what we read about in today's reading, in today's gospel reading. 3 days, a magnificent feast. Christ was invited, his mother was invited, Christ's disciples were all there, and it lasted all week, all these days. And our reaction is, you know, don't these people work? How can they party for so long? It shows how important the wedding celebration was, that work stopped, everything stopped, and they had this feast. And so for the host to run out of wine, it's not a minor faux pas. I mean, it's not would you like some soda instead? It's a big deal, a very big deal, you think. You know, once the wine stops, then the party stops, and then that man's reputation is ruined, absolutely ruined. You know how important back then, and even today in the Middle East, it's very important to be a very good host. It's very important to have proper hospitality to your guests, called Pashtun Wuli. That's the term they use, Pashtun Wuli. And for a host, you know, he was faced with a major, major problem. And that is why his mother said, Jesus, do something. Christ, help out. And Jesus, obeying his mother, observing the fourth commandment, even though it was before his time, he did what his mother told him to do. And he had jars set up, a lot of water. We think all these tubs, big water turned into wine. And that man's reputation was saved. The party was saved. And the entire town can go on, everybody can go on celebrating the wedding feast. And there are several things which we can draw from this story. Oftentimes when we think about a miracle of God, we think about the big things in Scripture. We think about the parting of the Red Sea, a spectacular event. We think about the walls of Jericho falling down by trumpet blasts. Big, public, spectacular events. But oftentimes, miracles can be very, for lack of a better word, mundane. Jesus took plain water and turned it into wine. Out of the view, by the way, of the host. And most of the people, and especially the host, did not know that a miracle even occurred. He was like, oh, we do have wine. In fact, it's very good wine. And that is how most miracles occur with us. Because a miracle in Scripture simply means a work of God. A miracle is something that God does, something that God creates. God created the water out of wine. And miracles can be something which we can, oftentimes, many people can overlook, not even know they're occurring. It reminds me of the parable. It's a parable of two fish, or three fish, really. Two young fish are swimming in the fish tank one day, doing what fish do, swimming in schools, I guess. But these two fish were swimming in the fish tank, enjoying the day. And suddenly, an older fish swims up to these two young fish and says, "The water is very good today," and swims off. The two young fish swim on for a little bit. The one fish turns to the other fish and says, "What is water?" Fish cannot live without water, but yet they were so immersed in it. It was so common in their experience that they did not even know what it was. And oftentimes, that is how we as Christians live in the presence of God. For one, our very life is a miracle. It's a work of God. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me, as I speak to people and dialogue with I like to do evangelism and spread the gospel, at all times, always ready to speak about Christ. And it seems to me that our culture is becoming much more hostile towards the faith. Not just indifferent, not just but downright hostile to a biblical faith and biblical confession that we have. And in many of these discussions, when the people talk to me and say, "There is no God, there can't be a God, we are a result of evolution, and the fact that God is a delusion, and yada, yada, yada." And it's always at the back of my mind saying, then where did you come from? Are you just an accident of random processes, gas formulating, coalescing, or whatever it is? Did you cause yourself to be? Our life, the fact that we have consciousness, is a miracle. But also our faith is a miracle. The fact that we believe and come to church is an act of God. That's one thing. I remember I was teaching recently a new members class about Epiphany. And I was speaking to this young woman about faith. And she kept talking about choosing to believe God. She was saying, I don't know if I want to believe in God, or I'm trying to choose Jesus and follow his, and I said to him, that's very noble and very good, and I applaud you with that, but I kept emphasizing to her, to this person, that faith is not a choice. Faith is not something that we do. We don't choose to believe. The very act of our faith is a work of God within us. It says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is a miracle. And as we, as a church, as the body of Christ, we have been called by God to be a miracle to the world, to be his presence in this world, to be those who proclaim his word and his presence to all those who do not believe. And it is a mighty task, but again, it's something that how God is working and guiding us and forming us to be his instruments, than to be the agents of his miracle in the world. And it is interesting and very important that Jesus' first miracle occurs at a wedding. Because, and as you read in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 26, that our faith, as a church, as the body of Christ, we are our relationship to God is compared to that of a wedding. We are called the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the groom. And that in the book of Revelation speaks about the final consummation of God's new creation as being a wedding feast, the feast that has no end. And that church today is a foretaste of that feast to come, living in God's presence. But before that day comes, we are God's miracle. We are God's miracle to this world. So may God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.